I warmly welcome you all to the Jethwanaram Buddhist Monastery. I think this is not a new place for you. You have been here before, right? So it's going to become your home. So when you engage in merits, obviously this will become your home. And I warmly welcome to your home. That sounds so odd. This is your place. So before we embark on this special discussion of Dhamma, we have to do something very special. We have to take refuge from the Noble Triple Gem and remind of ourselves of all the merits that we have done. Therefore, we'll be able to be convinced of the truth that we are going to discuss today. So, before further ado, let us do that. Let us pay our homage to the Noble Triple Gem by chanting the Namaskar 3 times.
Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas.
So I hope you have been listening to the sermon series that has been conducted by Most Venerable Amadasana Thero. So none of you are new to this Dhamma. I hope so. Are there anyone who are completely new, that who are listening to a sermon for the first time in their life? If you're like that, could you please show off your hands? The sermons conducted by this monastery. Okay, there are a few of you. Okay. Much else. So let's discuss from the beginning there. It's always a good thing to go back to our basics and revise of ourselves. So let's say, what is the purpose of our life? So we all have a purpose. Actually, to be honest, we have purposes for everything else. For example, let's say, what is the purpose of, having lunch to fill your stomach, right? And what is the purpose of cleaning your house? To make it clean and tidy, to make a pleasant environment for everyone else. Likewise, we have purposes for everything. And what we do in our life, we engage in various projects. A project is something which has a beginning and an end. So what about our life? Our life is also like that. It has a beginning and it has an end. Have we planned it? Actually, to be honest, we all want to be happy. And I also had a lay life like what you're leading right now, right? So if I was asked when I was lay, if I was asked from someone, are you happy? Of course I would have. Yes, I'm so happy. Can't you see my face? I'm gleaming with happiness. That was the answer for me. Although I didn't know back then, there was a missing piece in the puzzle. Only through the help of Dhamma, I could realize that. So I think many of you who are very familiar with listening to Dhamma, you all might have got that missing piece and that essential missing piece. So without that, the life doesn't become complete. We say that we are happy. But how long that happiness lasts? Are we planning for a short-lasting happiness? I don't think so. So we want to be happy eternally. We want a long-term plan. So in order to do so, what do? We engage in all sorts of things. Actually, everything that we do in our life, why do we do that? Do we do anything to become sad? I don't think so. The purpose behind every opportunity that we get, everything that we do, is to become happy. For our happiness as well as the happiness of the others. So let's look at it. Are we going to be happy for long? I mean, is that a long-term solution? Let's look at that. So if you have got the happiness, what we are searching for, okay, that will be indicated by something that I'm going to tell you. There should be an observable outcome. Let's take an example so that you can understand it clearly. Let's say that I have been writing with a pen and suddenly I lose it. Then I'm looking for it. Where is the pen? Who took it? And finally I find it. When I find the pen, how does someone know that I have found the pen? Because how did they know that I have lost it before? Because I'm searching for it. I'm searching for a pen. Now, how do they know that I have found it? Because I'm not searching for it. That means I might have found it. Or else I might have given up of searching. That could happen as well. But most of the time, you stop searching for something because you have found it. Right? Do you need the help of someone? Okay, now you have found it. So please stop searching. Do you want the help of someone to say that to you? You will stop by yourself. Right? That makes sense, right? Okay, now if I were to ask you, have you stopped searching for happiness? Or can you stop it? Right? For example, for some, happiness might be in a piece of pizza. Or for others, happiness might be in a movie or in a song. Right? There are many sources of happiness. When we live in our day-to-day life, there are many objects as well as people and many incidents, scenarios or places which has happiness in it. It is embedded with happiness. Right? Can you remember that caramel pudding? The chocolate cakes? They have happiness in it. Right? Now let's look at this, whether this is the truth or not. Do you want to find out the truth? Or if what we are holding right now is a fallacy, but if it is a pleasurable fallacy, would you like to have it? We all are truth seekers. Although we might not know that, we want to know the truth. Therefore, you have a right to know the truth. Therefore, as disciples, as disciples of the Lord Buddha, it is our duty to show you the truth, to share the truth that we have learned from our teachers. Because I can remember to this date, I was also like you. I was sitting amidst of you. And with all due respects to my teachers, I got the blessings. And I was captured by their compassion. Therefore, I was taught about these truths. And ever since then, my life became free. Therefore, what I want to do today is to share that truth with you. Therefore, the truth will always set you free. To be honest, I didn't know what is freedom back then. For example, let's say that you have been having a headache ever since you were born. How would you know that you have a headache to be in the first place? You wouldn't know that you have a headache, but you will have the first indication of having a headache by if you have an experience without the headache. When you get that experience, you will think to yourself, oh, what a relief. What I've been carrying all throughout. That's the burden of the defilements that we have been carrying. So I want you to experience this within your life. And I'm sure it is possible. How do I know? Because it is possible. You should look at our teachers. And they're the living examples that this Dhamma works. So, today, stress and anxiety has become a huge problem. And of course, if you look into your own life, you're engaging in your work, and it's a very pleasant, calm and quiet environment, right? Your workplace. You don't get angry, your mindset is so pleasant and tranquil, right? Is it an environment like that? I hope so. But unfortunately, that's not always the case. We become stressed. And people talk about managing the stress. Have you managed your stress? Have you been able to do that? Why? What is essentially wrong with this stress? Because stress is something that could be eradicated once and for all. Do you want to keep something that stresses you or that make you suffer and manage it? Let's say that you have the dustbin or the garbage which is collected at your home. Do you want to get rid of it? Or do you want to manage it? What do you want to do? What if that you manage it? One day you keep it under your bed. And the other day you keep it behind your chair. And the next day that you keep the bag of garbage and keep it on the top of your wardrobe. Likewise, you're managing it. You're managing your garbage. But no one sees it. No one get to see the garbage because you have managed it properly. Do you do that? How does it sound? If you know someone who does it, what would you call them? So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to present this technique, and it has been unveiled. It's properly and precisely described and taught by our teachers. So there's a proper way of practicing. Therefore, you don't have to manage your stress. You can get rid of it once and for all. And that is what we are going to discuss today. Would you like to hear that? Of course, then you don't want to be stressed and you wouldn't know how to become stressed then. Little by little, stress will be something that is unheard in your life. And that is what we call the freedom. Because if we become stressed and if we think that we are being stressed because of others, then we are not free actually. And that has been always the case ever since we were born. And we sometimes think that, oh, that's life. That's life. Life is not with all the joy we want. Sometimes there are ups and downs. There are downs as well. Unfortunately, it's not. Actually, you can be happy. And there is a way for an everlasting happiness. And that happiness we refer to as unconditional happiness. Because there are no conditions. That happiness does not depend on any kind of condition. So that is what we are following. Why do we say that it is unconditional? Because whatever the happiness that we are enjoying right now is conditional. Because it depends on causes. For example, that you told me that some of you may be happy with a piece of pizza. Not just one piece. Right? So, as many as the pieces that you would fancy. And someone will say that my happiness is there in a movie or in a song or in a person. My happiness is with you. Or you are my happiness. Whatever the way that people say. Right? Let's see whether that's the truth. Okay. So, to begin with, we talked about this stress. So, Lord Buddha's teaching is, the essential teaching of the Lord Buddha is, everything depends on causes and causes and effects. I think you know what I mean, right? So, if everything is a result of causes, what do you think about the stress? It should be also a result of causes. Okay, so let's say, stress. If it is a result of causes, what might be the cause for stress? So let's look at it. Why do you become stressed? Why? Let's say, someone will say that if a person who likes pizza, if the pizza shop is closed, then they become stressed. Oh, not again. This is closed again. They become stressed. So, if a person who loves a movie and they have booked the ticket and they go to the cinema and all of a sudden they have displayed a notice, due to unavailable circumstances, we are not able to show this movie today. How would they feel like? Oh no, right? Can you hear that sound? Within that sound, what is there? Stress. Whenever we can't fulfill our expectations, our wantings, then we become stressed. Oh, just say that there's a power cut. How would you feel like? Oh, what a nice feeling is that? Is that the feeling that you get when you undergo a power cut? Not just power cut. Let's say your Wi-Fi breaks and no signal comes. What happens? How do you feel like? Is it normal or something that... Would you like that experience? Because you want the Wi-Fi to work. But it doesn't. So you feel so stressed. So in each of these occasions, there was one salient feature that remained common. So through that, we can derive at a theory which works for all cases. In each of these cases, there was a wanting or an expectation. So let's say that you don't get something that you don't want, or you don't get something that you don't want. Would you become stressed? Or let's say you have a friend who is crazy about watching this movie, this particular movie. Right? Unfortunately, I don't know the names of these movies that are there today. So let's say movie X. So your friend is so crazy. He's so fancy of watching this movie, and he has a book ticket for you as well. And you have to go with them. But you don't want to watch this movie. You're not fancy about watching movies. You're more of a music person. You don't want to watch movies, let's say, for example. And you go with that friend and you come to know that movie doesn't show up. How would you feel like? Would you become stressed? Right? Would you become stressed? I don't think so. You will feel bad for your friend, that is true. But if you ask from that friend, why are you stressed? What's the reason for this? So what is their answer? They will always answer that because the movie doesn't show. Because why? Why do they have to cancel this? What is the reason? The reason is that the movie is not showed up. That is the reason that they give. So, isn't it common for you? Is the movie showing up for you? No. That is common for you. So, if that's the correct reason for him to become stressed, then that cause is common to you as well. Then you should become stressed as well. But do you? You don't get stressed because of the movie. Then do you think that is that the correct cause for stress? What is this thing which he had but you didn't have? The wanting to watch the movie. He had it but you didn't have. So isn't this clear evidence to prove that the stress is a result of wanting? So we have to come into firm grounds that the stress is always a product of wanting. So let's write that. So it's the wanting that makes us stressed. So let's take another example. So you want to go and visit a place. You want to make use of your time that you have to enjoy. You want to go on a vacation. And you want to visit this certain place, which, so you go this vacation with your family. No one else likes to visit that place. Everyone says, oh, what a boring place is that. So everyone else wants to visit another place. So then, let's say you want to visit museum, but no one else likes it. Right? That's a very boring place. You have gone there once, can't you remember? There's nothing to see. There's nothing for you to do. Let's go to a leisure park where you can actually relax. But for you, you don't want to visit that leisure park. So when you visit the leisure park, you always have the feeling, oh, what if I visited the museum? I could appreciate the artworks that were done in history. And you all get these memories. You are not happy. But others are enjoying to the max. And why is this? And you don't get a fulfilling experience. Because your expectation is not met. So this mind works like a pressure cooker. Do you know what a pressure cooker is? It's a cooking utensil, right? Where you apply some water and apply heat underneath. And it's a airtight compartment. And when the pressure builds up inside, there's a small valve on top of it, and the pressure gets released. So it's something like this. And excuse me for my drawings. So it is something like this. Will I have to label this as a pressure cooker? It looks, at least. Right? So there is some amount of water. And when we apply heat, it evaporates. So it creates the water vapor. So when the pressure of water vapor increases, then it reaches a threshold, the maximum kind of pressure where it can hold. When it exceeds this pressure, what happens? There is someone inside the pressure cooker who opens this valve, right? You always keep it inside and close the lid, right? Do you keep someone inside the pressure cooker? No. But still, it opens the valve. When the pressure exceeds the maximum tolerable pressure, when it exceeds the pressure, it is always lifted up. So, who exerts this force? Is that a correct question? Who exerts this force on this valve? Because there's no one inside. So, what is the correct way of asking that question? How does it happen? Right? So, if you have learned in your physics, if you can remember, the pressure exerts a force because there's an area, the cross-sectional area of this valve, so multiplied by the pressure, that is equal to the force. When that force is powerful enough to lift the weight, then it is lifted up and it releases the excess pressure. This is the way how our mind works. So what is this pressure inside? This is the stress. Don't you feel that it is a kind of pressure? When you want to do something, then you know that you can feel the stress. Can you remember that such instances? Right? Where, what if that you, let's say, in a party, that you all have gathered to enjoy a nice meal, but everyone is talking, but not have the meal, and there's a delicious pudding. And everyone starts talking, but none of them are eating. How do you feel like? Now it is served right in front of you. Or they're Thanksgiving or something. Right? You can't have it either, because none of them are eating. It's not nice to eat like that. Right? So how would you feel? Having the delicious item of food right in front of you and not being able to eat, how would you feel like? You wouldn't like that experience, would you? So it's like torturing. Right? So it's not the food which tortures you. Do you think that it's the food that tortures you? No, it is something very interesting which happens in the mind. That is what tortures us. Because this wanting creates this stress. It's like this heat creates this pressure. Right? Or rather, the evaporation. Evaporation increases the pressure inside. And when the pressure is increased, now there's a force, uplift force. When that is increased even more than the weight, then it is uplifted and it releases the stress. So the stress, if it is not done something, if something is not done to reduce it, then what will happen? It will be released. So the releasing process happens. So what happens is, when the stress is released, now you get a kind of an experience. So what is this experience? Let's just say that, let's imagine that one day you went for shopping and you buy things for you and you carry a lot of things for you, and unfortunately there's no mode of transport. Let's say that you didn't get a taxi and you want to you have to. There's no other option. You have to carry all the things that you have bought for you, and you have to return to your home. And when this happens, you become, physically you exert a lot, and you sweat a lot, and by the time when you reach home, you just open the door, and you collapse on the sofa. Right? When you collapse on the sofa, how would you feel like? Oh, what a relief. Right? So, which gave you that relief? Someone would say that, the sofa. Because of the sofa, I didn't have a sofa back then. When I was exposed to the scorching sun, I was sweating. I didn't have the comfort of a sofa. So, sofa gave me this pleasure. What a relief. Right? If sofa gave this pleasure, so let's do another experiment. You sleep, let's say, in the evening, you take a good rest, you sleep for 2 hours, and after having a good rest, then you collapse on the sofa again, the same way that you did. Just do that and see whether it gives you the same pleasure. If sofa gives you the pleasure, what should happen? It should have given you even when you are fully rested. Right? Would it happen? Unfortunately not. Why? Why does this happen like this? What is the cause for this release? So there should be something to be relieved. There should be some pressure. When you are fully rested, are you exerted physically? No. So you're physically rested. So I'm taking this example as physical stress. And you can get relieved out of it. And that is another form of pleasure. So you experience pleasure only when you experience a stress in your mind and when it is released. If there's no stress, is there something to be relieved? So you can only enjoy a pleasure if you're stressed. So this is what we refer to as pleasure. So let's write it like this. This is very interesting. I'll tell you why. I wrote pleasure here, not afterwards. I'll tell you why. So, what is really happening here is the stress being released. I'll give you another simile where you can compare, so it will make it easy for you to understand. Okay, so this is just a simile. Okay, I'll ask you a simple question. Have you seen darkness? I hope every one of you have seen it. What color is it? What color is darkness? What do you refer to as dark? Okay, let's imagine that you are trapped in a room which is pitch black. There's no ray of light there. It's completely black. It's completely dark. But you have a working kind of a flashlight, but you have turned it off, and you are with a friend, and this friend has never seen darkness. Let's just imagine, right? So then he asks, what is darkness? Can you please show me what darkness is? You can't tell him that you're seeing it, right? Can you say you're seeing it? He asks, where? I don't see anything, right? How can you make him show the darkness without flashing the torch? Without flashing the torch, can you make him see what darkness is? He says that, no, I can't see anything. Then what would you have to do? You have to turn on the flash. Then they would see what darkness is. Would they? No, then they see what light is. Because light is emitted from the flashlight, right? Then what happened to the darkness that was there before? Where did it go? This darkness is shattered and it is collapsed on floor, so you can sweep it and collect darkness. Can you collect darkness like that? Where does the darkness go? When you turn on the flashlight, what happens to the darkness? I mean, I want you to think with this. Let's take another example. So we have these lights, right? Let's just imagine there's a dimmer which is attached to the lights. So you dim the lights a little bit, right? Then you will feel, right? Oh, it's getting dark. It's getting dark. So if I were to ask you, what does the room actually get? What does it get? It gets, I mean, the sentence says, it is getting dark, right? What do you understand by, what is the physical thing that the room gets? Does it get something or it reduces something that which was already there? What does it reduce? What is it gotten rid of? The light, right? So darkness is the reduction of light. Do you follow me? I hope everyone understands you. If you have a doubt, you can raise your hand, right? So reduction of light is what we refer to as darkness. But what is there in the outside as darkness? Is there anything outside? I mean, is there anything that the room gets as darkness? I'll take another example, right? So you have seen light sources, the sources of light, these electrical lights, as well as a candle, a lit candle, a lit oil lamp, or a flashlight, the sun. Those are sources of light, right? Can you name a few sources of darkness? Have you come across any source of darkness? What do you think? Do you have never come across? If you have come across, please show off your hands. No, none of you have come across any sources of darkness. Why? Why is that? What do you think? Okay, is black hole a source of darkness? I mean, a source of something means it should be able to emit. If it is a source of light, it can emit light. Can a black hole emit darkness? What it does is it attracts everything. It even attracts the light. That is why it's called a dark hole. Black hole. Right? So black hole doesn't emit darkness, because darkness cannot be emitted. Right? Why? Because, why do you think that there are no sources of darkness? Because darkness is a reduction of light. So darkness could only be defined with the help of light. So would that be correct to say that darkness is a product of light? Why? Because only if there's light, you can say, if it is reduced that much amount, it's getting dark. Therefore, darkness cannot be found outside. But we refer to thing as darkness. But nothing can be found as darkness. That is why you can't find a source of darkness. A source which emits darkness. But you can find sources of light which can emit light. But you don't find sources of darkness. So what does really exist in the world? Is it light or the darkness? It's light. When the light is reduced, then we refer to that reduction, reduced amount of light, to as darkness. Okay, now shall we apply that knowledge to what is happening in our minds? Right? So now we have stress and we have pleasure as well, right? And you know that you experience the pleasure with your mind, right? Where else can you enjoy the pleasure? Without your mind, can you enjoy? No, you have to have a mind to enjoy the pleasure. So now we can see stress has a source. Wanting is the source. So there's a source of stress. Right? How about the pleasure? What is the source of pleasure? Right? Is there a source of pleasure? What happens in the mind is that releasing the stress. And nothing beyond that. When the released amount of stress is interpreted as pleasure, we tend to think that pleasure comes from outside. That is why we attribute the pleasure to whatever the object that we can find in the outside world. That is why you can find lots of sources of pleasure. Can you remember that we referred to in the beginning of this discussion? Right? A piece of pizza is a source of pleasure. A movie or a song is a source of pleasure. But do you really think that pleasure is embedded there? Because if it really is embedded, it should be pleasurable for all. But we know pleasure is an individual experience. Right? That is why the things that you find pleasurable is not found as pleasurable by others. But maybe for a few, but not for everyone. But if it is the absolute truth, pleasure should not be an individual experience. It should be a universal experience. Right? But that's not the case. That's not what we experience in our day-to-day life. The reason is this. Because stress is there, and there's a source for it, which is the wanting, which are the expectations that we have created. Right? But the pleasure is nothing like that. It is a reduction of the stress. When the stress is reduced, it is interpreted as a separate entity called pleasure. But can we observe that outside the world? No. What is observable in the mind, even in the mind, is the stress. Therefore, this is a wrong interpretation of released amount of stress. Do you understand? Because of this wrong interpretation, we call that wrong interpretation as ignorance, not knowing the truth of pleasure. Therefore, I want you to know the truth behind pleasure. What is the truth behind pleasure? It is an amount of stress which is being released. Okay. So, to proceed thereafter, actually we didn't talk about the wanting. And if everything is a result of a cause, wanting should also be like that. Right? The wanting is also a product of something. What do you think the cause of wanting is? Why do you have expectations? Why do you want some things? Would you want something that you don't like? You go on shopping and you buy what you want, right? So you prepare a shopping list before you go to shopping, right? Can you remember? And you only buy those things that you have written on that piece of paper. Does that happen always? Or you buy everything but, right? Your smiling faces say something. Because that is what happens when you go on shopping. The internal desires come up and they start troubling you. You can't get your eyes away from some items that you see on the supermarket. Right? There's a kind of a struggle that you're going through when you want to make the purchase. Should I buy it or not? Do I have enough amount of money? So how much of time would you consume? Right? That is why some people say that, oh, I don't want to go shopping with them. Because it takes ages. Because you wouldn't know that time. Because time is taken for this all the rational thinking. Should I buy it or should I not? Do I have enough amount of money? Do I have enough time? You have to do all this rational thinking, right? But if you were able to stick to your list, items of things that you want to buy, you wouldn't have these problems. But you can't do it because your eyes are open, right? You get to see many interesting stuff in the supermarket. And they keep on triggering these wantings. And these wantings will fire up a stress. And when this happens, in your mind, you have to relieve out of it. Without releasing the stress, there's no solution. Unfortunately, not if you're not practicing the Dhamma. But if you are a disciple of the Lord Buddha, of the Perfect One, He has told us a way out of this. I'll tell you why this is a vicious cycle. This is a trap. Why this is a trap? Okay, I'll tell you. Because this wanting is caused by the likings that we have. We like things, and if we like something, then we want it. Wanting means not the fact that you buy it. Buying is a different thing. Right? Wanting means which happens in the level of mind. If you see something and if you start liking it, now can you help but not want it? You can't help yourself, can you? You will want it. So the wanting is a product of liking. And if I were to ask you, why do we like things? What is the reason for liking? Do you like everything that you see? You tend to like things if you can perceive something as something which has pleasure in it, right? So if you get to watch a trailer of a movie, right, would you start watching all the movies that you watch as trailers? No. That doesn't happen. So you get the exposure of many advertisements, right? So do you start buying everything that you see on advertisements? I mean, if you keep on getting exposed to advertisements, I don't know what will happen, right? But some advertisements make an impact more than the others. Therefore, you want to try it out. It starts like this. Let's give it a try. That's how you do that. You're not that stressed when you're first exposed to. You just want to try out things. Because you like it. Why did you like? Because there could be some amount of pleasure. Because that people who were in the advertisement, they gave an indication it is pleasurable because they were smiling when they were having it. Right? That is how we interpret the world. If someone is smiling, and if their mouths are reaching their ears when they smile, that is a clear indication that they enjoy pleasure. Even if the thing that they are enjoying doesn't taste at least anything, if they're smiling, we get the feeling that it is so pleasurable, it must be delicious. Right? When I say that, you feel that, right? So those are the gestures that people use to convey the idea, well, it's really pleasurable. Right? So that view works in our mind. Right? If the notion of something is pleasurable works in our mind to trigger a liking. So that is the cause for liking, which is the view of something as pleasurable. So we call this view as what? Unfortunately, this is what Lord Buddha referred to as ignorance. You might wonder, if you are new to these teachings, you might wonder, what? Why that is called ignorance? Let's see. Because that is the reality of pleasure. As we discussed before, the pleasure is just a product of stress. There is no pleasure embedded in the worldly objects. It can be only found when the stress is reduced. It's like darkness. So where darkness can be found? When there is no light. Right? So absence of light is what is referred to as darkness. But if you take darkness as a separate entity, then you should be able to trap darkness inside a bottle and keep it dark as always. So even if you flash a torch to that, it is not being lightened. Is it that? Is that what darkness is? Is that the properties of the darkness? No. So the pleasure that we experience is also a product of stress which is being released. Therefore, the wrong interpretation of stress which is being released is called pleasure. And this pleasure, if you consider this pleasure as a real pleasure, real happiness, then that is what feeds the ignorance. Because that is wrong, that interpretation is wrong. That is why it is called ignorance. Therefore, this becomes a vicious cycle. Because the more you like it, the more you want it, then more you become stressed, and then when it gets released, now you experience pleasure and ignorance is fed because it is pleasurable. It is really pleasurable. Then you start liking more. This is why people can't go out of this cycle. Right? To make it more clear, let's say, draw a graph write a chart by using some arbitrary values, right? So let's say that you start, you want to eat an ice cream. So there's a new brand and a new flavor and you wanted to try it out because you saw an advertisement and it sounded so delicious and you really want to try this, and you went to that ice cream shop and you already have a wanting because that is triggered by that advertisement. Let's say that you have a wanting of 10 units, right? Some arbitrary values. So I'm comparing the level of wanting and stress before and after the release. Before the release, the wanting and the stress, then after the release, wanting and stress. Okay? Okay. Can every one of you see this? Okay. Okay. So let's say that we start off with a wanting of 10 units. Then if the stress is caused by wanting, what is the amount of stress that it will cause? It will be the same unit, same amount of as the wanting, right? So it will cause 10 units of stress. Why? What's the reason for this? Because the stress is caused by wanting. Okay, now when the stress is released, let's say stress is released by for 2 units, let's say, then the reduced amount of stress is 2 units. Now the new amount is 10 minus 2, 8. Then this reduced amount of stress means the change in stress is minus 2. But if that is wrongly interpreted, that means it is interpreted as plus 2. It is not minus 2, it is plus 2. Why? Because that was not interpreted as a reduced amount of stress, but as a pleasure. Then, that feeds ignorance by 2 units. If ignorance is increased by 2 units, what about liking? It will be increased by 2 units. What about wanting? It will also be increased by 2 units. So, what's the new wanting? 10 plus 2, which is 12. Okay. Then we come to the next cycle. Next time when you eat that ice cream. Now, first time, you got a pleasure of 2 units. Right? Now, next time, before the release, what is the new amount of wanting? It's not 10, it's 12 now. Now, what is the new amount of stress? Now, there's adequate time for the stress to be filled. And now, because the stress is a product of wanting, it will be filled until the level of 12. Now, let's say that the stress is gotten released by 4 units. Right? So what is the after the release of stress, what is the level of stress? It is 8. Now that you interpreted that reduced amount of stress as an increased amount of pleasure, that means it is wrongly interpreted. Minus 4 is interpreted as plus 4. Then ignorance is increased by 4 units. Liking is increased by 4 units. What about wanting? Wanting is also increased by 4 units. So what's the new amount of wanting? 12 plus 4, 16. The next day. Or a month later. Right? Now what is the wanting? Now what is the amount of wanting that you start with? It is 16 now. Now what is the amount of stress? Because it is being created by wanting, now it is 16. I'm sorry, can every one of you see this? Okay. Now let's just imagine, now you relieve the stress out of, 8 units you release the stress. Then what is the new amount of stress? It is 8. Now these minus 8 units, which is the change of stress, is interpreted as plus 8 pleasure, which is what is ignorance. And ignorance is increased by 8 units. What about liking? Liking is also increased by 8 units. What about wanting? Then, what is the new wanting then? 16 plus 8. What is it? I don't know maths. So, 24. So, dear ladies and gentlemen, this is our life. Can you see something very interesting? Of course, the stress is released all the time. And you experience a pleasure. Right? What is our problem here? If the problem is the stress, of course, each and every moment, you find a solution. Right? Because the stress is being released. You don't feel any stress after you relieve out of it. But if your problem is with the wanting, you're actually, step by step, you're aggravating the problem. Can you see? The wanting is increased. Is it gradually increasing or is it exponentially increased? It's an increase of in an exponential way. What about the stress after release? It doesn't even change. That means you keep on being stressed even after enjoying it. Right? That is the bitter truth of pleasure. If you can really internalize this, you will definitely fall out of love with pleasure. Because you have then realized and be convinced what is the reality of pleasure. And you will see how much you suffer even while enjoying something. I'm telling you, if you really understand this, you will never leave this place. You'll never leave behind this teaching. And I don't want you, any one of you, to get ordained, because that's a huge step. No, that is not what I want you to do. Because you suffer unnecessarily. All that unnecessary suffering you can get out of your life. We want you to get out of the unnecessary sufferings. Because wanting is the problem here. So I'll tell you another example. Let's say that this is a kind of a, simile that I want to share with you all. Let's say there's a man who loves, let's say, for example, who is a fan of chocolate, right? So now he eats chocolate every day, day in and day out. Now he can't keep himself away from chocolate. Now one day, he noticed that he's losing his weight. Now he's emaciated and he looks so washed away. He doesn't look fit enough. So he goes to a doctor and he says that I lose my weight. I have lost about 10 kilograms within, say, 3 weeks. That's a drastic amount of weight loss. So then, and I also experienced that I want to go to the washroom even middle of the night. Right? So, that happens very rarely before that, before this. But nowadays, I get about 2-3 times. And I'm very thirsty, more than usual. So he gives these kind of symptoms to his doctor. Then he asks him to do. Then after analyzing the symptoms, what does the doctor do? He wants to arrive at a diagnosis. So he examines him, but he can't find anything. Therefore, he orders a blood test, a fasting blood glucose level. Now, when he does it, he gets the result. His fasting blood sugar is about 300. Right? Now, what can you say? So did the patient come and tell his doctor, "Doctor, I have diabetes. Please treat me." Do the patients come up with their diagnosis to their doctors? I mean, if they do that, why do they need the doctors? Right? They do not come up with the diagnosis. They come up with the symptoms. What are the symptoms that he had? Weight loss. Polyuria, or what is referred to as increased frequency, number of times that he goes to the washroom, even in the middle of night. That's called nocturia. Then, as well as weight loss. Then, so those are the symptoms. Weight loss, polyuria, nocturia. Then with these symptoms, when they present in front of the doctor analyzes these symptoms and examines them, and then they try to arrive at a diagnosis. And when they come to the conclusion, which is the root cause of these symptoms, which is known as the disease, they try to treat the disease, not the symptoms. And for example, if someone tries to treat the disease without analyzing the symptoms, if a doctor, without analyzing the symptoms, if they try to treat the symptoms, so they might say that, "Oh, if you have lost some weight, start eating more and more chocolate." Right? Would that be the correct advice? But let's say that without analyzing the symptom, they say that, "Oh, now you have lost some weight. That means the amount of food that you get is not enough. Have some more food. Have some more oily food." Actually, when they eat more oily food, they increase the weight. Now that symptom is masked. But would that cure the disease? No, actually it has aggravated the problem. Right? So if you want to, but you can, I mean, you will die out of diabetes, but you wouldn't have lost your weight. Right? So actually that symptom is no more there. You are not suffering from the symptom. So if you really want to mask out the symptoms, what should you do? You should eat more and more chocolate or oily food. Therefore, your coffin will be so nice. It wouldn't have lost any weight. Right? So isn't the case? I mean, if the stress is the problem here, actually each and every step, you're relieving out of the stress. Right? If the stress is the problem, yes, this is a perfect solution. I agree with you, but if the problem is the stress, but if you really understand this, which is really happening in the mind, you wouldn't be focusing on the stress. You'll be focusing on getting rid of the wanting, which is the cause for stress, which is the real disease. Right? Stress is just a symptom. Of course it is there. Okay, let me ask you this. For that person who is diagnosed with diabetes mellitus, now he has a symptom. He loses his weight, he gets polyuria, increased amount of times that he increased thirst. Those are some uncomfortable symptoms. So when the doctor treats him with some medications for diabetes. Does he want to treat the symptoms as well? No, the symptoms will be faded away when his sugar level is adequately treated. Now, no longer he would be emaciated. His weight be regained. His weight will be regained, as well as the thirst, and those will be normal. Those will come back to normal, right? If you know what I mean. Therefore, the doctors don't treat the symptom. Of course, at some times where you can't identify the correct root cause of the disease, of course, doctors will do that. But that is just because to get away from that uncomfortable symptoms. But if they can know to be precise to the precise cause of these symptoms, they would go and just treat the disease, which is the root cause. Then that is a permanent solution for the disease. Okay, now, what is the disease and what is the symptom? Disease is the wanting and stress is just a symptom. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we have been doing in our lives, we have been treating the symptom. And what is it has done to our lives? What has it done to wanting, which is the real disease? It has aggravated the disease. So, if you keep on the way, what you are doing right now, what will happen to the wanting? And that is not the way to cure it. In fact, that's the way to increase it. This is the truth that I learned from my teachers, which is what I want to share it with you. Therefore, my dear people, I really want you to understand this. Otherwise, we are making the suffering for ourselves. We are making our life a prison, and that prison is made by ourselves. I want you to break free from the prison that we have created for ourselves. You have the key with you. I can only show you the key, but if you don't pick it up, you wouldn't even know that you're living in a prison. So, my ask of you is not that you shouldn't enjoy the life. No, that is not what I'm asking you to do. When you come across pleasure, do not let your mind to interpret in the wrong way. We fail only within that step. If that step is lost, what will happen to the liking and wanting? Can you stop? Can you stop thereafter? If you start liking it, can you stop? Oh no, although I like it, I don't want it. You take a firm resolution. Yes, I know I like it, but I will not want it. Are you the one who wants it? Can you help when that happens? It's like, I mean, especially in the Sri Lankan context. Let's say that a youngster has developed a crush on someone. Right? So, when the parents get to know about this, they ask some few questions about their family background. And when they realize that that is not suitable for the family, I mean, only some kind of parents would do this. Right? Puta or dua. This is not appropriate. Don't like them. Just get rid of it. Just forget about them. Right? I mean, as if they are the ones who are liking. They are the ones who are wanting. Can you do it like that? If you have started to develop a liking towards something or someone, for that matter, can you help thereafter? Once it's happened, it's happened. Now it's too late. This is a cascade of reactions and you can't stop in between. Right? It's like the cascade of dominoes. When one piece of domino falls, I mean, you will be able to stop it in the middle because you can intervene. But here, it happens in the mind. So how can you intervene? There's no method that you can intervene. So, therefore, when you get in the middle of this cycle, it becomes really... It's actually, you have no control at all. This is a process by itself. And you know what? People sometimes, they actually have something very interesting method to come out of this cycle. Right? For example, let's take the same example that the person who is addicted to chocolate, right? Now, who is diagnosed with diabetes. So let's say, now they know that they want to eat chocolate. Now they know that their sugar level is so high and their doctor has advised him to control their blood sugar levels by controlling their dietary habits. Now they take a firm resolve. No, I won't eat chocolate hereafter. When some people actually do that, that is very good. Some, they get a firm resolve and they stop eating chocolate. That means it goes against this cycle. It seems so, right? Because now they have the wanting to eat chocolate, but they seem like they are not stressed and they're not released from the stress. How can that happen? Okay, let's see what is happening. So, in that case, what happens is they develop another wanting. I want not to eat chocolate. I want to stop eating chocolate. That is another wanting. Then, how are you stressed then? You are stressed because how are you stressed? Because you don't want to eat chocolate. Then how can you relieve out of that stress? By not eating chocolate. Then you are happy. Right? So what happens in the mind is a conflict between two kinds of wantings. Right? So if the wanting not to eat the chocolate is greater than the wanting to eat chocolate, what will happen? Whatever the greater, whatever the bigger wanting will win the game. So, what happens in your mind is an internal conflict. You know what I mean? It's an internal conflict. Conflict between the two wantings. If the wanting not to eat the chocolate is greater, then it is going to win and you're successful enough not to eat the chocolate in that time, and for that time. But what happens when you are exposed to a party, right? All your friends are enjoying and they're eating chocolate, right? When you get to see that your friends are laughing and they're enjoying so much of chocolate, what happens? Then that is interpreted as pleasure. Oh, chocolate is so pleasurable. Then what happens? You start liking and the wanting become increased. So if you're exposed to one party, it is slightly increased. The next party, now which is greater? When this becomes greater, this one wins over this. Then you relapse. That is why if you want to take a firm resolve and stop yourself for some practice that you want to stop, that is not a long-lasting solution, right? Because of course you're very courageous because you take a firm resolve and you try to practice it, but for how long? How long would that last? Because this is the case. Therefore, courage and resolution, yes, it will help you in the beginning, but that is not going to be a lasting problem. Right? So, in a nutshell, where we go wrong is this misinterpretation of pleasure. If you interpret the reduced amount of stress as a pleasure, then we lose it. But if you can contemplate while experiencing the pleasure, to experience this much of pleasure, how much stress, or what we refer to as, actually the technical term would be vexation, right? How much of a vexation would that be? Since there are new one of you, I don't want to make use of that term. This is the term, the accepted term. The internal vexation, when it gets released, that is felt as pleasure, but that pleasure is not really out there. If you can contemplate while having the piece of pizza or the ice cream, or while listening to the music, piece of music, or while watching the movie that you're watching, if you can contemplate on this while doing what you're doing, you're on the safe side. Because now the ignorance is not fed. That is why I don't want you to change your lifestyle, but I want you to think differently. Have the correct view. Right? My teachers have never asked me to, when I was lay, to change my lifestyle. And that is the, then you don't know the truth, but you're trying to force feed the Dhamma. No, that's not the way that works. Try to see the reality through the experience that you get in your day-to-day life. Then only will you see the essence of Dhamma within your life. So that is in a nutshell. Unfortunately, we don't have much time for today. There are many things that I want to share with you all. But, of course, you will get the exposure to Dhamma with many sermons to come with our most venerable Amadasana Thero. So I'm sure that you will make use of them, those teachings, to your lives. And your life will be freed from the suffering. And you deserve that. Because you are the people who nourish us, who nourish the Mahasangha. And if we don't share this with you, who else should we share it with? Right? Therefore, you deserve this. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to know the truth and relieve out of the suffering, out of all the suffering that you go through. So, with that in mind, let us transfer the merits. So let us take a moment to transfer the merits that we have all have gathered today by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening to Dhamma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. First and foremost, let us remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of the Lord Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let us transfer these merits to the bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, upasakas, and upasikas, who since time immemorial have protected the preserved sublime teachings of the Lord Buddha and passed it down to the generations of the noble lineage in the form of Sripitaka, which is thankfully available to us to study, understand, and comprehend the Dhamma. Let's also transfer the merits we have acquired to all members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including the chief relays of all of the chapters who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and have committed themselves towards the betterment of all sentient beings. Let us not forget that among them are the monks and nuns resident in your local temples and nunneries, who have always been by your side through thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let us also transfer these merits to Guru Swami Nuanse and all other monks resident in our monastery, as well as the Anagarikas and Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits and express our gratitude to all those who make great efforts to disseminate the teachings of the Buddha, be that by translating these sermons, sharing them out with others, and inviting others to join them. May to the power of these merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plane, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plains. May to the power of these merits, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also transfer these merits we have acquired to our devotees, friends of the monastery, who for the sake of merit continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes everyone from those of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, and to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, robes, and medicine. and who have passed on their know-how and extended their well-wishes. May to the power of these merits, may they abstain from non-meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to our mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews and nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employees and employees, and to all those who have helped us, supported us and assisted us in every way, shape or form. By the power of these merits, may they be healed of any physical and mental ailments and overcome any obstacles through their spiritual progress. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to devas, brahmas, spirits and demons, primarily the Sakadeva, as well as the numerous gods and deities who are committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddhi Shasana. Let's also transfer these merits to our guardian deities who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May through the power of these merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all those who have been our families, friends and acquaintances in this infinite long journey of samsara, to those who have helped us, supported us and assisted us in every way, shape or form. Let us transfer these merits to them. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to all members of the armed forces as well as the police force and who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all who lost their lives in war, be they friend or foe, rejoice in the merits that we have acquired today. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to all those who lost their lives in natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides and pandemics, reminding ourselves that among them will be those who have been our friends and family to us in this infinite long journey of samsara. Let's take a moment to transfer these merits to them. May through the power of these merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves from the woeful plains and be born in the blissful plains. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Finally, let us all resolve that may through the power and the blessings of all the merits that we have acquired for today, we be able to witness the advent of many hundreds and thousands of arahants on this blessed land itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, may through the power and blessing of all the merits that we have acquired today, you and I and everyone who has helped to make this program a success become an Arutun Mahanse or Arihat Mehanin Mahanse in this very life itself and in the era of Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Triple Gem be with you all. Raga ginnen midhetva Dvesha ginnen midhetva Moha ginnen midhetva Nibbana parama sukhayen Sukhita taravetva Nibbana parama sukhayen Sukhita taravetva Mamada siyalu loka siyalu satvayo Nibbana parama sukhayen sukhita taravetva Nibbana parama sukhayen sukhita taravetva Nibbana parama sukhayen Sukhita taravetva Raga gini niveva Dvesha gini niveva Moha gini niveva Nivan sap lebeva nivan sap lebeva nivan sap lebeva May through the power and blessings of the whole Noble Triple Gem be with you all until we attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.